Good morning. You have all heard the story about the little guy that asked his dad after they got home from church, "Dad, what does it mean when the preacher takes his watch off and lays it on the podium?" Well, before the dad answered, the little boy had already said, "Hey, the song leader has these gestures like this. What does that mean?" He said, "Well, son, he wants everybody to stand. And then the song leader will do this." And the little boy said, "What does that mean, Dad?" And he said, "Well, son, that means that the song leader wants everybody to sit down." Then he said, "Well, what about when the preacher takes his watch off and puts on the podium? What does that mean?" And the dad said, "Son, it means absolutely nothing." So we endure. We endure. There are lots and lots of things to endure. There are lots of great reasons to endure. In fact, the Bible gives us several passages that would help us think about why we ought to endure. And some of them are very directly stated. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself." Why did he endure? "So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." That's why Jesus went through what he did, to help us be able to endure. And even though he endured such great hardships and such difficulties, and we see that, and we know that he's our example, when we're going through problems and troubles and strife and trials, how hard is it for us to endure? Hebrews 12 and verse 7 says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" I remember being disciplined. I remember being made to sit in a place for a good while. Wow, I didn't like that. My gear was high and my body was wound tight and I was ready to go, and I have just been pretty active much of my life. And sometimes it's very hard to sit. It's getting easier, but it's been very hard through the years. But when it was discipline, I wanted to say, "Why, Mom? Why do I have to do this?" Or, as my older brothers and sisters were responsible for the discipline in our home a lot, I wanted to say, "Why? What are you making me do this for?" There were many good purposes for the discipline that I received growing up. God does the same thing for us. When we look at the Bible and we see the discipline that God administered to people, when we see circumstances that God permitted his very faithful, the best of the best people go through, we can see a great, great need to endure. So this morning, for a few minutes, I want you to just think about this question: why endure? We live in an awesome, awesome world. And we read this passage from Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1, very often. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands." How amazing, how beautiful, how marvelous the works of God's hands are. We tend to think of them as beautiful, and they certainly are. But when we start thinking about the great ways the earth works, just little simple things like us breathing in oxygen and giving out basically carbon dioxide, the plants all around us doing just the opposite so that we'll have oxygen, they will have carbon dioxide. We have so many amazing things. The way our very body works is unthinkable. I haven't thought about it until this moment, but I'm able to stand up because my muscular system works to some degree. I'm not standing up here thinking, "Boy, I need my muscles to contract to hold me up so I don't fall like a blob on the floor." I've been breathing ever since I stood up here in front of you. I don't have to think about, "Oh, I've got to breathe out. Oh, I've got to breathe in." Our body just does that. Our heart is pumping, and that blood is flowing through our system. I don't have to think and ask my body to take the nutrients out of that supply of blood to get me the energy that I need to function in life. The world is truly an amazing place. When we stop and think about unthinkable things, 50 years ago, we would have never thought about videos and phones and all the kinds of things that we have available to us that we just take for granted, wouldn't know how to live without now. Our world is truly an amazing place. And we certainly need to continue to think about what an awesome world we live in. Many great blessings. We're about to enjoy Christmas. I read last week sometime that in 2017, on Black Friday, Amazon did between $6 and $7 billion worth of work. One day, one company. Are we a wealthy nation? You see, we can do this because we are. Some of you may be up to here in debt, but you're living like a king or a queen. And we are a wealthy nation. And God wants us to know that. And God is not disappointed when we use the wealth that we're able to obtain to enjoy life here in this world. As for the rich in this present age, you need to charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Why? Because God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. When we start thinking about the fun that we can have in life, the enjoyment of any kind, some enjoyment is not what we call fun, but it's just something that we appreciate and we are thoroughly grateful for. And we need to be grateful to God who provides everything that we can possibly enjoy. So we have an awesome world to live in. We have many great blessings. On the other hand, as we think about why endure, I want you to think for a minute about life and some of the natural disasters that we have. Boy, if you look at the pictures of the wildfires in California, the city of Paradise, California, has just been burned down. And when I say burned down, I mean burned down. It is unbelievable, the pictures of that city, that town, and what an unthinkable problem those people have. It isn't that they just lost a home, they lost a town, which means many of them lost their livelihoods, many of them lost family members, many of them lost so much, it's unthinkable because of a natural disaster. When we start thinking about the hurricane season that I think has passed now in terms of the season, what awesome damage is done by hurricanes. We have all kinds of problems. We don't have drought much here. Now, some of you who farm, you may think you don't have a farm is the reason you're not saying that. We really don't have a drought like people in Africa and some nations other than Africa have, where it doesn't rain and it doesn't rain and it doesn't rain and nothing is able to grow in the way that it normally grows. We don't really understand what a drought is. We understand our crops need early rain and late rain if they're going to produce the best that they can. We know that. And if they get that early rain, but when it's just before time to harvest, when the fruit can really mature and grow and we don't get rain, we have produce that doesn't come to fruition like we want, and our income is less, or the fruit that we can enjoy is much less. And so we have problems. We don't have problems the way some people do, but all of us have natural disasters. And so it may come to you. We have had people who are in this room whose house burned down. They didn't say, well, you know what, I think I'll burn my house down today. A disaster occurred and many problems occur, and sometimes lives are lost. There are many things that come about. And even if those things come into your life, God is seeking us to endure and be who we need to be. I don't think that would be a start, hardly, if you begin to name specific moral challenges that people have. But it's an unbelievably common occasion now when we turn on the news or pick up a newspaper and we read about where some disgruntled employee walks into a business and shoots people, or some disgruntled former student walks in and starts shooting people, or somebody that has had a relationship that went sour goes into a home and shoots the people that did not relate well to them in the way that they wanted to. We have all kinds of things. It would blow our mind if we were to bring every person in Henderson, Tennessee that has been drunk this last week and put them in this room. I'd be surprised if the audience weren't larger than the one we have now. I'd be very surprised, in fact. And we have it all around us. And if you include in that people who are abusing different kinds of drugs other than alcohol, you know the number would not be able to be held in the seats in this building. When you start thinking about the people who practice sexual immorality of all kinds, if we had everybody in Henderson, Tennessee, in this building who has participated in some kind of immoral practice in this last week, we would be amazed at how many and who. It would blow our minds. There are so many abuse circumstances in our culture. If we had just the children in Chester County this past week who've been abused in some way, physically beaten, sexually abused, emotionally abused, psychologically abused, we would be amazed again. And when you start thinking about all the kinds of divisions that we have in homes, that we have in companies, that we have in churches, the divisions that we have, if we just take Chester County, we would be amazed. These are all around us. This is not about some old preacher standing up there throwing up some words on a screen. This is about life every day for some people, one or more of these moral challenges. And everybody in this room has some type of moral challenge on a regular basis. And God wants us to endure and get past and seek help and be who we need to be instead of giving in to the moral challenges that we have. We have to endure just because we live in the world. The word world is used in different ways in the Bible. I'll just give you two examples. The one that's on the screen in just a moment, but everybody could probably quote John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. Is God loving what is described in 1 John 2, 15 through 17? Is God loving the fact that we have desires of the flesh that lead us in the wrong direction and He sees us fulfilling those desires? The desires of the eyes, we see things we have no business seeing and we're drawn to them. Is God loving that part of our lives? No, it's not. God loves the people who are involved in worldly kinds of behavior. Behavior that will not be a part of heaven that we studied last month. We won't have to worry about the world in that sense. The part that we will get to enjoy is the part of the world who love the Lord, who were called according to His purpose and love Him. And those who care about His appearing, God is going to bring to be with Him forever and forever, and a crown of righteousness is going to be theirs. That's the part of the world that we will have available to us as we live with God forever. But today, we live in the world. And John says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the desires, the King James, the New King James uses the term lust, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye and the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And the world and the lust thereof are going to pass away. We won't have to worry about these in the life that is to come with the Lord. And the problem is not that we have desire, but that we have the wrong kind of desire. The problem isn't that we have the ability to see. It's a great blessing. The problem is what we choose to look at sometimes. It's not that we have any pride in ourselves or in our family or in our work or in our grades. It's not that we don't have any pride at all. It's the kind of pride that lifts us up and makes us haughty, makes us think that we are something because of our good looks or our money or our brains or some other part of this world. God's disappointed in worldly behavior. We're all involved to some degree. And we all love some things that we should not love. We desire some things. We look at some things. Our pride is misplaced sometimes. And God is so wanting us to get away from that and endure living in a place where this kind of world exists and still being what God wants us to be. We need to endure because of the character of Christianity. If you've come today because this is a nice place to sit, it is. But if you've come today thinking that Christianity is one of those easy things, it's not. We've got a great cross-country runner sitting over here. Been to the state meet a few times. Doesn't get easier, does it? Every time you run and you try to beat that time before, it hurts. It's hard work. And you have to discipline yourself and you have to practice and you have to work. It's not a matter of relaxing all week long and then go run in a cross-country meet. You work and you buffet your body, as the Bible says in the King James Version. You work hard at it. And Christianity is just like that. It is a race to be finished. Let us set aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have to endure what it takes to exercise our spiritual muscles and our spiritual thinking and our decision-making process. It is compared to a struggle, a serious struggle. It's not one of those things that's a snap. It's hard work. And as you read the Bible, you understand what a difficult challenge Christianity is. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Regular, steady, hard work. If you're coasting through life and you're not having to work because of the challenges of the world, the desires that you have, the things you want to see, the pride that you'd like to build up in yourself and you'd like for others to have in you, if you're not struggling with that, something is very wrong. Because that is the world in which every one of us lives. And it takes steady, hard work to meet the challenges. It is filled with trials, struggles, problem. None of those are easy. God didn't intend for them to be easy. God intended for them to help us grow, to help us trust in Him more, to come to know that we cannot take care of life on our own. We can't face those problems. Those desires that we have, the things we want to see, and the pride that develops in us, we can't take care of those things on our own. These things are there, and they're going to be there. In fact, if you read these passages from James 1, verse 2 begins by saying, "Count it joy when you fall into different kinds of trials and problems, boy, there'd be some really happy people in this room if you could really do that. Because you've got challenges in your life. You've got troubles and sorrows and difficulties. And if you could count it joy to see what that could do in helping you grow and mature as a Christian, you would have the kind of joy God wants you to have. Are they the kind of joy that's fun and knee-slapping and laughing about? They're not. And no one would expect that. But God expects us to be grateful and thankful and use the trials that are in our lives to make us who we ought to be. And then we want to endure because of the reward. What a great passage is on the screen in front of you. It's the passage that we read near the end of the life of the Apostle Paul. Be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now Paul begins to show us a tremendous example. He's still alive, but he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He knows life isn't going to be with him very long, physical life. But because he has endured suffering and endured the trials and problems of life and taken on the challenges of the world that was with him just as surely as it's been with any of you in this room, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He is saying, I have endured. And in a few days, I will have endured to the end. And now the reward comes. Crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. But Paul says, thank him, thank the Lord, not for him alone, but to all who have loved his appearing. This morning, are you really grateful that God came in the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? Are you grateful enough to endure? And as you look at your life this morning, have you worked through the difficulties and trials and problems of life and held on to the Savior, held on to that life that you believe from knowing God's Word that you ought to be living? Maybe that there's somebody in this room that hasn't really started living the life of Christ by being born into the family of God, by repenting of your sins and confessing His great name and being buried with Him, raised with Him to walk a new life as a child of God, forgiven and blessed. Endure because of the reward. This next song that we're about to sing has a great purpose behind it. We call it an invitation song. It is to encourage you, to invite you, if you've not been doing a very good job of enduring, or you haven't started enduring as a Christian, to get with it. And if a public response is what you need this morning, there'll be people praying for you, thinking about you, hoping that you will respond if you have the need, and then endure to the end. Please come if you need. Let's stand and let's sing.